good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my sit-in co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, sitting in for Dave Allen. Until next week, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. But today is Thursday, November 10th, 2022. How do you do, Butch?
Hello, Melody. How are you doing
today? I'm a poet and don't know it. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's been a day in our office today. Been fairly busy, and I've started on another book, so I worked on another chapter it today and trying to get everything done. So we're getting trying to get things lined out a little bit.
All right. Awesome. 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 Well, I guess the stars were in line for gold pricing here in this past week. We're looking at gold today up another $48 in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,756. Silver was up 65 cents at 21.78. Platinum was up 55 at 1,047. And palladium was up 103 at 2,049.
Wow.
Let's see here. Of course, the dollar index, the USDX, was down quite a bit, 2.39 at 108.05. Crude oil was up 44 cents at 86.27. Paper markets today, you have, you know, inflation came down a little bit, Butch. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
I heard that. Yes.
How about that?
I'm so excited. Woo-hoo. Now I'm going to buy my new car.
There you go.
Here you go.
1,200
yes.
points on the Dow. 33,715. The S&P was up 5.5%. 3,956. The NASDAQ was up 7.3%. 11,114. And you know what, Butch? I can't help. You know, I'm going to be a cheerleader for the paper markets. And for those who own it, because, I mean, you have a lot of retirees out there. They've been creamed. And they've been having a hard time. So if this is going to be a temporary fix for them to help them get through maybe the holidays, perhaps, where things might not be so bad as far as their paper investments go, you know, you can't say they're having a bad day. So I'm not going to, you know, wish that this paper markets were down. Absolutely not. We just have to understand the fundamentals and what happens next, and the purchasing power continues to decline. So, yeah, the paper markets did great today. Asian markets were negative across the board. Europe was positive across the board. The Germany index, the DAX, was up 3.5%. France was up 2%. 10-year yield dropped like a rock. 0.316 at 3.82%, 3.82%. And oil today, natural gas was up another 5%. That's the funniest thing to follow is natural gas. It's up 5% today at 6.158. And so, I mean, that is pretty much the Fed officials are welcoming the inflation report. But the Fed could still see a tighter policy ahead. They said San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly said, we're a far cry from a victory, but this is certainly a welcome relief, they say. It rose less than expected. And they're, you know, thinking that the increase in interest rates is what doing it. And let's see if I can go ahead. Of course, we saw the massive rally following this report. And even the two-year Treasury note yield, that tumbled 30 basis points. And inflation is running at a 7.7 annual rate. And everybody, well, of course, they're going to have some sort of an impact on it. I've been saying that for how long? Of course, we're going to see it come down a little bit. But does it make up for everything that you've already paid for in the decrease in wages? And they still have a long way to go if they're still going to try to target their 2%. And again, a lot of it had to do with a stronger dollar. because it brought all those imports in here a little less expensive. So next time you go to the grocery store, see if your produce and so forth came down a whole 1%. Highly unlikely. And so again, I don't know if there's anything else in there worth mentioning, Butch, if there's something you'd like to say to that.
Well, I just want to say that to see the market climb that much and then gold and silver climb that much together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That doesn't generally go that way.
In an inflationary period, it does.
Well, that's good for metals then.
And it's because of the weaker dollar. I mean, the dollar dropped 2 full points today.
Yes. And I would think that in turn would cause inflation to be higher next time around.
And, you know, what we all try to do, myself included, is to make some sort of sense to the numbers. And in various markets and in the way in which they are performed in that day, there's you can't do it anymore because you have all of these markets, paper markets, the gold markets, the bond markets, everything is so controlled by these huge hedge funds, by these derivatives. And I do have an article on derivatives we're going to talk here, and also about the cryptocurrency FTX. That is, it truly is amazing that everything is still following through. But is that the black swan that we're going to face here in the near future? Don't know, but we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So, nothing makes sense. So you have to stick to the basics of the fundamentals of gold. And in times of serious trouble, gold is going to be there. Gold is the insurance policy. Gold is still a hedge against inflation, even though they can, they've created all of these various programs to compete with physical gold. Because they don't sell it, so they create these programs to compete. And so where they can transfer millions and billions of dollars into a single market, but you're not going to do that to physical metal. So again, you've got this, this thing going on that knee-jerk reactions don't happen anymore. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You just can't stick to the basics, stick to the fundamentals. And they haven't changed. And because gold is truth. Gold is the reality. Gold is the reality of the money. Because gold is money. And gold is the canary in the mine. You remember they would put birds in the mine and to see if as long as the bird was breathing, the workers could be down there. But if you looked at the bird and the bird fell over dead, you better hightail out of there. Gold is very much the same thing. That's why there's always so much pressure to keep it from rising. Because as soon as gold starts rising, people begin to ask questions. What's going on? And then things are looked at a little bit deeper and so forth. And I didn't have a chance to be here yesterday, Butch, with the election and everything. So I hope you're going to talk a little bit about the elections today.
I did that yesterday, actually.
I just want to say one thing. I was on a program with Beth Ann, and a month or so ago, she asked me about if I thought we'd see a red wave, and I said no. And we certainly didn't.
No, we saw a red trickle.
And, and it's just, and again, I always can think to myself, Butch, you can see these politicians. The way they run their races, if they really want to win or if they're just going to lose, if they're there to lose, it's just like, the fighters, if you what do you call it when you have two wrestlers or two boxers or something and one takes a dive, just so the other one can win. I think
they,
that a lot of that.
They get paid for it.
How many? I knew from day one the big issue was going to be about abortions. That's what's going to get a lot of people out. Did you hear any of these Republicans talk about abortion? No. They totally they pushed it under the rug. They didn't want to discuss it. Do they think this was so the decision was so wrong that they couldn't talk and support it and say, hey, you know, this is why you go to your states. I don't get it.
Well, it followed the same scenario that Bill Clinton did. It's economy, stupid. That's what they followed again, and it didn't work for the Republicans this time. Although I have to say right here in West Virginia, there was a red wave. I was shocked. In the Senate, we have 34 senators. 30 of them are now Republicans, and in the House, we have 188 of them are Republicans now. There was a red. I was shocked. In this state,
well, I heard that
it didn't carry nationwide.
I heard North Carolina did the same thing and so forth, so there were some states and so forth. However, you know, it's just, the Democrats, you know, were out there, and yes, you can say, oh, they cheated and blah, 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 blah. And I get it. Trust me, I get it. But it's just, they were counting on this red wave. They talked about all the wrong issues, and it isn't about just the economy, not when it comes to the Democrats.
No, it isn't.
It never will be.
No, and I do believe that the moral people of the country understood understands the battle for the lives of unborn children. If the so-called conservatives would have talked about that, I think they would have done much better, because of the moral issues take precedence of everything else in my mind, and I'm sure in millions of other people's minds also.
Well, perhaps it would have made, instead of telling all the Republicans out there, all the voters, Republican voters, that this is going to be the biggest red wave ever, instead of going out there and say, you know what, it might not be, so you better get your butts out there and do what you can do.
Yeah, too confident.
Too confident, and that's what I said from the day one. No, they're too confident. They're going to lose.
We don't know yet for sure whether they win the House or not, do we?
It depends on who you listen to.
Oh, that's true. And the Senate also, I guess. Yeah, really. There's going to be a runoff.
Well, it's going to be a while for the Senate. But one minute you hear, oh, gold in the aftermarket's at $50 to the upside. So, but yeah, I mean, one minute, one place you listen to it, and you have McCarthy already, you know, writing his, you know, speech to, you know, welcome him into the, you know, or pleading his case so he can be the leader and turn the channel. And it's like, well.
Well, so. McCarthy is not much better than Pelosi, to tell you the truth.
And absolutely not.
It's just true. That's just the way it is. If that's the best Republicans got, then that's exactly why I'm not supporting them.
And you know what? I do have a question for listeners and to you and so forth. And, you know, the big debate now is between DeSantis and Trump. Everybody says that DeSantis, you know, doesn't have a chance and, you know, it's all Trump, blah, 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 blah. That Trump's loyal followers. My question is, I think if DeSantis did run against Trump, how many of those followers of Trump would drop him like a rock?
Well, this first article I'll share kind of covers that idea, because Trump is really, according to this article, CNN's Jim McCosta said Trump is super ticked off and screaming at everyone over humiliating midterms. The ones he backed didn't win as a whole. That, I believe, kind of slapped him in the face into a reality check. Everybody's not pro-Trump any longer. And if you like, I'll share this article. But
go ahead. Yeah, it's fine.
It says former President Donald Trump is livid and screaming at everyone over tonight's midterm results. A Trump advisor tells CNN's Jim Acosta, whom Trump hates with the fire of a thousand suns. Trump's ire has been building in public and in private, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis becomes a greater and greater threat to his bid for his second term in 2024. On Wednesday morning, Acosta gave readers an early taste of Trump's state of mind following an election night that figures to be a crisis and disappointment for Republicans, and which is already being blamed on Trump. Acosta wrote on Twitter that Trump is livid and screaming at everyone. After last night's disappointing midterm results for GOP, according to a Trump advisor, the advisor went on to slam the former president's handpicked contenders. They were all bad candidates. Candidates matter, the advisor said. The blow was so crushing that the idea of delaying his promised 2024 announcement appears to have been floated in Trump world. This advisor said it's unlikely Trump would delay his expected presidential announcement because it's too humiliating to delay. But the advisor said there are too many unknowns at this point. So Trump got slapped. I mean, most of his candidates lost big time. I mean, he got smacked. How do you say this? Trump bribed on himself. He's arrogant and cocky And he's just Biden on himself. People turn off. Not everybody, obviously, but many people turn off with Trump. And I lost all confidence before he ran the first time. He said he's more pro-gay than Hillary. But now people are losing because, well, I got more dirt on DeSantis. So, you know, I'll tell on him.
And we don't want to go through that again. I don't want to go through that again.
No. But that's a pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? I mean,
perhaps.
I mean, what Trump is, I don't think his reputation is a whole lot better than DeSantis could be. I mean, I'm just telling what I know about Trump personally. It's been brought out in the media. And
well, I would hope
life.
That DeSantis has a little bit better reputation than he does.
That's what I'm saying. That's like the pot calling kettle black. I mean, Trump telling DeSantis he's a bad boy?
Yeah.
Gee. So, yeah. You know, Trump, I think, is a bygone era.
He's done, and he's going to ruin we will get another Democrat in there if he runs, and I don't think he'll become the lieutenant governor out of Virginia. Winsome Sears, she broke with President Trump today, saying that she wouldn't support him if he decided to run. She says she just couldn't. And she was once a close ally of Trump's, serving as chair of Black Americans to Reelect President Trump, but she canceled an appearance at Trump's Take Back Virginia rally in 2021. And she just said the voters have spoken, and they said that they want a different leader. And a true leader understands when they become a liability. So,
I don't think his pride will let him see that.
But, of course, she could have also just said that and done that because there's been rumors that the governor, Youngkin, might be a potential candidate, you know. So the only one I see fit is Ron DeSantis. He proved to me that he can do what needs to be done.
Well, he won the election in Florida handily, and he also said this: Florida is this place where the woke come to. Where did he say that place where the woke come to disappear? Kind of. I mean, he said we don't tolerate those policies here, and he said it very well. This way, he said that the Florida is where the woke goes to die.
Mm-hmm.
So, bless him. I'll support him. I will.
Yep.
I will.
In fact,
anyway.
You know, I haven't been, until we, you know, dig a little further and get a little scoop. But he's proven to me more than any other possible candidate or politician has done so in a very long time.
Well, he's been more open.
I mean, he has done things.
Yes, he has. He's been more open with it. He said he spoke his mind. His candor has been there's no guessing where he stands. He says where he stands.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire that. Even if I disagree with the man, I admire someone telling me where he stands.
I don't think I was that. I mean, Ron Paul was the last one I would have supported.
Yep, we got.
And he even had issues. Hey, we're out of time for this first break. Not for the program, but for this first break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to do last night. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from sin? Can't you stand?
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. And we got lots of things here for you. And gold, silver, we got some specials going on. And I got some Canadian silver maple leaves at a really good price. So give us a call. You know, I just wanted, before you go on to your articles, I just wanted to talk about this, about the FTX. This is the second largest crypto exchange. You know, it's teetering on bankruptcy. And they shuttered withdrawals of money and crypto by their customers. They're dealing with investigations by the Securities and Exchange Commission, Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the U.S. Department of Justice. And at least one of those investigations is focusing on the potential misuse of customer funds between FTX and Alameda Research, which is a trading firm that was created by the FTX founder and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, or Fried. He's going to be fried, all right. The Wall Street, and this is being reported by the Wall Street Journal, that the FTX, which is the second largest crypto exchange, has a shortfall of up to $8 billion. I saw a video clip of this Bankman-Fried, and I mean, what a punky little dude he looked like. And I'm thinking, this guy is worth billions of dollars, and he's running the second largest crypto exchange, and he looks like a... Anyway, but anyway, this deal by the largest crypto exchange... by the largest crypto exchange, Binance, was to buy out the FTX. But yesterday they scrapped it after due diligence lawyers for the Binance didn't like what they saw. As of January, FTX had a valuation of $32 billion. A lot of their investors, Sequoia Capital, BlackRock, Tiger Global Management, SoftBank, Third Point, now wait for this, Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, okay? So now, I mean, this is really a big story, and I'm not quite sure it's getting any type of... You know, I watched one little interview by some SEC management top dude this morning, and, you know, yeah, we should, there will be, and it's like, you know, buddy, you're a little late. How many people have lost? They promoted all of these movie stars, Tom Brady, and a bunch of them to promote this. And then the little guy gets in there, pension funds. They have an FTX arena in Miami Heat. Is the name partner for the FTX Arena, the proud home of Miami Heat basketball team. But that's not the part I wanted. Shaquille O'Neal, Trevor Lawrence, David Ortiz. I mean, all of these big-name guys got in there to promote this. And we saw what Bitcoin did yesterday. It traded as low as 15,000, as lowest level in 2 years. But the part I wanted to get to, Butch, and if I can find it here in this article, Silvergate Capital, they fell 12% yesterday on the New York Stock Exchange. I wanted to see about, I bet I can't find it now, but it talked about the amount of derivatives that they trade.
Ooh, derivatives.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Thin air. That's thin air.
That's thin air. So this really is a big deal. And more than, here we go, more than, well, maybe it's not, more than half of federally insured bank, okay, here we go, more than half of a federally insured bank's deposits are tied to crypto. Let that digest
all
that
banks,
for a second.
All banks?
More than half
Federal Reserve,
of
yeah.
all of a federally insured bank's deposits
wow.
are tied to crypto, while federal regulators are twiddling their thumbs and letting it happen. And I'll tell you who wrote this report that I'm reading from here in just a bit. Now, this news comes despite the fact the legendary investor Warren Buffett has called the largest cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, a rat poison squared. Norio Rubini, he was a global economist, told the Senate Banking Committee in 2018 that crypto is the mother of all scams and now busted bubbles, while blockchain is the most overhyped technology ever, no better than a spreadsheet database. I think you've heard that all here on this program for just as many years. The most overhyped technology ever. Blockchains, no better than a spreadsheet database. Bill Gates. And we know what we think of Bill Gates, but one of the most valuable tech companies in the world, well, stated that cryptocurrencies are 100% based on greater fool theory. And just this past June, we talked about this, 1,600 scientists and software engineers wrote to committee chairs in Congress to warn that both crypto and blockchain are shams. So, you know, like I said, this is a much bigger story. And I'll have to look for that part about the derivatives. I know I didn't dream it, but this was an article put together by the Wall Street on Parade, Pam Martins and Russ Martins. And they do an incredible article about, they investigate various things, and they did an awesome job on this. So a lot of big names and billions of dollars, and you got this little tweaky guy walking around in red shorts and a gray shirt, like, you know, he's a it's just Butch. It's insanity, complete insanity.
Well, Melody, it is, but how long is this nation, and us with it before we knew better, and still do, even against our will, invest everything in nothing? We invest our savings in nothing but digits on a computer.
Yep.
And we invest in nothing but a piece of paper that's printed green. That's, have we not done that for many years? And now we're losing that because the investments we made in paper turn out to be worth nothing, and the ones we are even printed green are losing value every day. And that's, obviously that's true with inflation of 7-8% and up. So we've done it for years. We invested in Social Security Administration, which has been broke for years, and they're going to go under. And now we see in the shared in the UK, they're going to not give the people on the Social Security over there a cost of living for next through 2027, the next 3, 4, 5 years. They're not going to give them a cost of living increase because it said it would save them about £1 billion a year in their budget. Who's going to pay the price for this? Not the politicians, but the ones who need it most, the ones who retired, the ones who maybe need the funds to buy medicine and take care of themselves, go see a doctor. They're not going to get a cost of living expense. And is that not robbing the retirement funds of the people, Melody? Is that the same thing as robbing it?
Yep.
And we think it can't happen here. It will happen here. No, they won't have to cut it. They just don't increase it, which is cutting it. But it doesn't look the same, does it?
No.
So there you go. We buy it on ourselves, folks. We buy it on ourselves, and we have. And I really hate to say that. I'm guilty too, so I'm not throwing stones. But it was going to hit me first, because we've all done that. We were brought up to do that. We were taught to do that. And now the cows that come home to be milked, so to speak, and the chickens come home to roost. So here we sit, you know, with not really anything to back it up much. That's why you're trying to get them convention about something tangible. There's a value that's been a value ever since it's been found in the ground, gold and silver. To me, that's just common sense. But that's me. I'm an old hillbilly. What do I know? Any comments on that?
No, I mean, this is the things that are going on, and, you know, they'll cover it up. Who's going to come in there and pay them out? Who's going to bail these guys out? You know, and it's just, we've been talking about cryptos forever. And all we hear about is governments are going to cryptos. And here you have them talking about and this could be a way for governments to wipe out. Government was not going to allow all of these cryptos and exchanges to go regulated and compete against world currencies. Are y'all crazy? You know, they let it ride. Everybody makes a ton of money. And guess who are the first ones out? The big guys are the first ones out. And then the poor little guy with cryptos in his pensions and retirements, you guys get it last. And it's not new. You can go to every country in the world where they've had the same problems, and it's the same modus operandi. It's the same thing all the time, and you'd think people would learn. But we don't.
It's a Ponzi scheme with either one of those. Bitcoin was and is.
Sure.
Security was and is. It's the same kind of Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, folks, I know that this hurts to say this, but I'm feeling the pain of it. It's just begun. We haven't seen anything yet. And, you know, we're coming up on the holiday season. In this article here, U.S. consumers will be spending much less this holiday season because many of them are already tapped out. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I know that I give gifts during Thanksgiving. That's my day of the year. That's the day I like. And this year is tighter than it ever has been, trying to give gifts to the family for Thanksgiving. It's just tight, and I'm feeling it. This holiday season is certainly going to be far less jolly for millions of Americans. Yesterday, I detailed 11 signs that economic activity in the U.S. is rapidly declining. Well, today, we have gotten even more bad news. Thanks to deteriorating economic conditions, Americans plan to buy a lot less stuff this holiday season. In fact, one survey that was just released discovered that approximately half of the country plans to buy fewer things this year. Inflation is weighing heavily on the holidays this year, period. Roughly half the shoppers will buy fewer things due to higher prices, and more than one-third said they will rely on coupons to cut down on the cost, according to a recent survey of more than $1,000 by RetailMeNot. Normally, if cash is tight, Americans will just load up their credit cards during the holiday season. But for many people, that simply won't be possible this year. Millions upon millions of us are already completely tapped out, and credit card balances have surged to a brand new record level. Credit card and personal loan balances have reached record highs in recent months as an increased number of consumers leaning on such means to combat growing financial pressures caused by sky-high inflation. According to TransUnion's quarterly credit industry insights report, bank card balances rose 19% during the third quarter from a year ago, reaching a record $866 billion. This was driven heavily by the growth in Generation Z and millennial borrowers, whose balances increased 72% and 32% respectively, according to the report. A lot of Americans have already been heavily leaning on their credit cards just to survive from month to month in this harsh economic environment. Now the balances are so high, there simply is not a lot of room for additional spending. And I know that's really hard to face that, especially this time of year. But it's just a bare facts, folks. I know people personally who are not going to have much for holiday this year because they just can't afford it. The ones, well, it merely this is what it is. I can't change what's happening as far as personally, but I can tell the people this is what's happening. Prepare yourself because with Generation Z and millennials are balances increase up to 72%. That's a huge increase, is it not?
It certainly is.
So if they're having a hard time paying the bills, how are they going to pay the interest off on those credit cards? Not to mention the principal. The interest rate on credit card now is what, 7-8% now? Maybe more?
On credit cards?
Yeah, maybe more even.
Oh, they're 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, 22.
So let's say 10%. How are they going to pay that off with that kind of increase on the cards? So I don't want to ask to say, people, this is something that we're seeing come to roost now. Credit is a destroyer of economies, period. Credit is a destroyer of economies, and that's all there is to it. And we've all done it. We've all went in debt, and sometimes couldn't help it. I realize that. But to go in debt when you know you could balance things out and maybe save money to pay cash for what you want, but you don't have the patience to do it, you're only harming yourself and your children. You're just making it hard on yourself. Melody, go ahead. We've got another 30 seconds of break, so you go ahead.
You always give me these few little seconds left at the end of each segment without me being able to say anything except rumble on until we are at the end of the time.
I want people to realize
you do this to me all the time. So now we still have 3 seconds. So
there you go.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Oh, we had longer than that. Oh, we had a minute. Oh, I looked at the clock.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we get time.
But,
okay.
So you did give me a whole.
Give you plenty of time.
You see,
folks, you see how she treats me even on the air? I give her all the time in the world that she's there. She still yells at me. Gosh.
Golly. But anyway, now that we're out of time, I don't even know what to say now.
But we're back in a little bit. Don't go away.
Well, we still got 30 seconds, Butch.
All right. Okay. No. Well, again, I thought I'd give you a few minutes to wrap it up, but I thought maybe my clock's off. I thought we had a couple minutes left. But
Yeah, we did. I just looked at the seconds instead of the minutes, but here we go. I think I'm going to hear the music right now.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survivor. 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And we should probably get serious. Do you want to get? I don't want to get serious.
I don't want to. No, I mean, the world's serious enough. I mean, come on.
I know.
We gotta laugh a little bit, and I do, and I mean it sincerely. I like working with you because we can laugh with each other, and nobody gets mad about it. At least we don't. Maybe somebody else does, but we don't. You know, we can laugh at each other and with each other. That makes the program, although no matter how serious it is, makes it and you can receive it with a little bit. What's that old saying? A little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really, I think, what we're doing. So that's, I think, it's a good thing. But this next article is not nice either as far as good news.
Okay.
It is
well,
sad.
Then go ahead.
Okay.
Let me go take my sugar.
Okay. More older Americans become homeless. Now, this is so sad. Now, this is happening. This is one example. As inflation rises and housing costs spike, they said this out of Columbia Falls, Montana. On a recent rainy afternoon in a small town just outside Glacier National Park, Lisa Betty and Kim Hilton were preparing to sell most of their belongings before moving out of the three-bedroom, two-bathroom rental home. Hilton, who was recovering from a broken leg, watched from his wheelchair as friends and family sorted through old hunting gear, jewelry, furniture, and clothes. The only thing that's not for sale is the house. Everything else has to go, Hilton, 68, said as he checked his blood sugar. Hilton is a type 2 diabetes, a type 2 diabetic, has heart disease and other health issues that have left him disabled and able to work for years. He's covered by Medicare, but his only income is federal disability benefits. Because of his shoulder injury and fibromyalgia, 64-year-old Beattie Hilton's partner of 7 years also relies on disability benefits. Combined income is roughly $1,500 a month. And folks, I don't need to tell you today, $1,500 a month is not a lot of money. Mm-mm. That's no longer enough, though. Investors bought their house this year and raised their rent from $1,000, including utilities, to $1,800, not including utilities. Now, that was a huge jump. That unaffordable increase has left them with no choice but to leave, they say. They're not evicting me on the fixed income. I can't do it. So they're not kicking me. So I just can't pay it. So that they had nowhere else to go, and they were just not just losing their home. The stress ordeal has caused them to end the relationship. So anyway, despite the poor health, fragile bones, for which he must wear braces on both legs to prevent further fractures, Hilton planned to live out of his truck while waiting for an opening at one of the few assisted living facilities in Flathead County, which is mostly rural. The wait could last days or months. That's not good. That is sad. No way around it. I mean, they're living on fixed income. What are they going to do? He can't even walk. And they're being kicked out of their home. I don't care how you look at it, people. There's no good end to that. Living in a pickup truck in Flathead County, Montana, this time of year, is going to be a rough way to go, is not, Melody?
It certainly is.
So, and this next article I'm going to share with you, I think, is more for education than anything else. Because I don't think most people realize what we've done with what fiat currency is. I'm going to try to share the difference between now and back in the 40s and 50s. World dollar hegemony is ending, and that may be a good thing, it says. The end of the world dollar hegemony is coming in coming, and hardly anyone in government is taking notice or even understands what this means. Since the Bretton Woods Conference in 1944, the dollar has been the only currency accepted throughout the world for settlement of international trade accounts among nations. Now, folks, let that sink in. The dollar was used for settling debts between nations. Prior to 1944, physical gold was used for international settlement. When an exporter in country A sold goods to an importer in country B would say pay with its own currency, but country A would have no interest in allowing country B's currency to build up in its vaults beyond the amount required to settle its own importer needs. Thus, country A would demand that country B redeem its currency in gold. Sometimes country B would ship physical gold to a country A. Or perhaps gold held in safekeeping in a third country would be designated as how belonging to a country A, a book entry transaction that is more convenient than physical movement. So, and up until this, folks, up until this time, we had real money in this world. Nations trade in real value, gold. They started following the dollar because the dollar, that for at least a little while, up until 1971, the international settlements were settled with gold, with the dollar as a way to pay it off. It was backed by gold. And now, Nixon did away with that. 64, we took the last metal out of money, so it wouldn't be worth anything. And now we have what we have. So now you see why in the last 80 years, the dollars went to nothing. It's fallen to nothing because for the last 100 years or thereabouts, it's been turned into a fiat currency, not money. I mean, doesn't it make sense to see how the nations at one time traded on a more even keel, so to speak, because they had to back with gold, and their currency was backed by gold, so gold was gold. Something about the same value worldwide. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's how it worked.
Now we're totally out of balance. I mean, all fiat currencies are worth different amounts in different countries because nothing to back them. Well, one time, they all backed by gold, so they were equal in the world trade. Now we have what we have today, folks. Total chaos, wars, famines, pestilence, whatever you want to call it. It's all happening because of the greed.
There's never any accountability for any of these nations around the world. And so, you know, they get to do whatever they want to do when they want to do it, and the corruption comes in. They continue to become more powerful, more wealthy, and it's just, it becomes a racket anymore. I mean, certainly is not to the benefit of each nation, certainly not ours. And so it really is a sad place to be. No one is ever held accountable for it. You don't hear any, even the Republicans are supposed to be, and I say this with a little chuckle, supposed to be fiscally responsible. When's the last time you heard them? All you heard them say is, oh, look how much the Democrats spend. Well, they never look at what they spend. There's no accountability on the Republican side either.
Well,
it's
even under Reagan, the debt was growing faster than any time on record. That's under Reagan back in the 80s.
And your taxes. I was listening to the news last night about these local elections, and they had something on our ballot about the little sports complex they want to build here in Berlin, and they wanted to know if, you know, the voters, you know, would approve a bond, and everybody said no. The head guy, the commissioner comes on, I saw him interviewed, and he says, hey, you know, if we can't have a bond and we can't raise funds, I guess we'll just have to raise taxes. And he said it without a beat. And I mean, it was just, I'm not a violent person, but I really wanted to smack the guy. I wanted to scream at him and say, and here goes your property taxes for something that the people don't want. They want it because it's their name. It's they did it. It's their power. It's their recognize. It's their, they're disgusting. Literally disgusting. Anyway,
yeah, they have no conscience left at all as far as no conscience.
This town can't even support it. There's no roads. It couldn't support. But they don't care. They'll just tax and tax until they get what they want, and the federal government's no different.
No sense of accountability at all. And you probably saw this back in 2020. Campaign to extend Idaho's western border gains more Oregon support. Now, I said Oregon support. Two more eastern Oregon counties appeared to join the growing long-shot campaign to extend Idaho's western border to add their region in the state, initial midterm election returns indicated. Oregon's Morrill and Wheeler counties each voted Tuesday to support the so-called Greater Idaho Movement, which proposes exiting Oregon to enter the boundaries of the eastern neighbor. If the results hold, that means 11 Oregon counties have adopted the idea since the concept launched in 2020. The unorthodox effort is rooted in the partisan divide with Oregon's loosely along the eastern and western parts of the state. Western Oregon, including the state's largest city, Portland, is politically left-leaning, but eastern Oregon aligns more closely with its conservative right-wing neighbor, Idaho. We call on the legislature to let each half of the state go their separate ways in peace, Mike McCarter, Greater Idaho leader, said in a Wednesday news release. It should simply stop holding our counties captive in this unhappy marriage. Of course, even if the state approves it, both of them, it's still got to go before the feds, and, you know, to let it happen. But I thought it was interesting that they got one state wants to divide, and actually vote, and only people uphold it. I think it's probably one of the first times I've ever heard this, that many counties have come together to band together to want to secede from a state. Have you heard anything about that before?
No, I don't think I have.
So that's the first time that I know of, anyway. And what is that, a sign of things to come, perhaps? Maybe one day we'll hear about a whole state voting to secede. I don't know where this is going to lead to, but it's looking interesting.
It is interesting, but you hear these stories all the time. We heard of the various parts of California was going to do it, Texas was going to do it, and I think there was another state, and they never do, and it never gets done. So I'm not quite sure how they gain so much momentum and so forth, but it's never complete, and I'm assuming that it just gets shut down because it's logistically, and, you know, and probably they're just not able to do that. But
well,
I don't know.
Time will tell. Yeah. And I thought this was interesting. UN. Listen. The UN demands $2 trillion a year from rich countries for climate justice. The UN demands that. The UN's climate summit, COP27, is underway in Sharm el Sheikh, Egypt, and bold demands were made from the developed world.
Where's it at?
Sharm el Sheikh, Egypt.
Okay.
The UN is already desperate for funding, so what better way than to extort the rest of the world over fraudulent climate threats, slavery, racism, and colonial rule? An annual transfer of funds from rich to poor countries starting at around $2 trillion by 2030 and rising thereafter is needed for climate justice, according to UN-backed report released Tuesday. Now, pay attention to this, Mel. Do you love this? China has been specifically excluded from the demand for reparations, which includes taxes for fossil fuel companies on their global carbon profits. Even if communist state greenhouse gas emissions now exceed the entire rest of the developed world combined, so China won't even be considered for this. The first $1 trillion alone should come from rich countries. Investors and multinational development banks declared an analysis commissioned by Britain and Egypt, hosts respectively by 2021 UN Climate Summit in Glasgow. Wow, a further $1.2 trillion must then originate domestically from private and public sources, said the report seen by AFP. Private and public, I think I mean taxpayers. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's government has already signaled it's open to discussing climate reparations as it prepares tax hikes and public service cuts at home in the name of fiscal responsibility. Hey, like it, he's got an office and already hawking the people out to the UN. Now, that's leadership. That's leadership. I don't know what else to add to that. I mean, the gall, the audacity, the nerve of these people. And then for the new Prime Minister of England to say, yep, we'll do this. We'll just suck it to the people. And what do the people do? Well, I haven't seen him do a whole lot of anything lately, but I want to say.
Well,
that,
he's Indian. He's Indian, right? Did they exclude India too?
No, you said China so far.
Yeah, well, you know, India and China are, you know, beginning to be pretty good buddies.
They really are. I think I have time for one more here. Montana voters approved constitutional amendment to treat electronic data as persons, houses, papers, and possessions. Good for them. Montana voters overwhelmingly approved the state constitutional amendment that elevates the privacy of persons' electronic communications and data to the same level as persons, houses, papers, and possessions. Ballot measure C-48 amends state constitution to require the government to obtain a search warrant in order to access a person's electronic data or electronic communication by adding the following highlighted words to Article 2, Section 11 of the state constitution. Searches and seizures. The people shall be securing the persons, papers, electronic data, and communications, homes, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. No warrant to search any place or to see any person or thing or to access electronic data or communications or issue without describing the place to be searched or the person or things to be seized or without probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. So there you go. They made a good move on that, I do believe. I truly do. And that's some news for today. We can do a lot more than that, but we're down to the last minute or so here. So, Melody, I'll let you wrap it up.
Okay, this time you did just give me 30 seconds. But anyway, I just wanted to add, you know, we talk about the economy. You have Builders First Choice. They're shedding 2,600 jobs. You have Phillips 66. They're planning. They said this on Wednesday that they're going to reduce employee headcount by 1,100 by the end of this year, trying to save $500 million. So that's what these companies do, and it's not going to stop. For them to save money, they're going to pass the higher cost on to you and cut heads. They're going to cut back on their employees. So that's what they do. That's what they do best, and that's what their shareholders want them to do. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It's nothing new. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.